Willkommen bei Freak Radio. Am Mikrofon begrüßt Sie Sandra Knopp. Die heutige Magazinsendung beschäftigt sich mit den Bildungs- und Arbeitschancen von Menschen mit Behinderung. Austria meets Africa. In der Wiener Mittelschule Knöllgasse bekommen Jugendliche Besuch aus Äthiopien. Vizeschuldirektor Tishoma Asefa und die im Rollstuhl sitzende Menschenrechtsaktivistin Shitaye Astaves setzen sich dafür ein, dass Menschen mit und ohne Behinderung gemeinsam ausgebildet werden. Die Schüler erfahren im Rahmen eines Workshops, welche Möglichkeiten, aber auch Barrieren es für integrativen Unterricht in Äthiopien gibt. Im zweiten Beitrag erklärt Barbara Murray, Senior Disability Specialist von der Internationalen Arbeitsorganisation ILO, wie sich der Arbeitsmarkt für Menschen mit Behinderung entwickelt und ob eine Quote sinnvoll ist. Doch zunächst in die Wiener Knöllgasse im 10. Wiener Gemeindebezirk. Dort bekommt eine Mittelschulklasse Besuch von Tishoma und Shitaye. Sie haben den weiten Weg von Äthiopien nach Wien auf sich genommen, um den Schülern von ihrer Arbeit und ihrem Lebensweg zu erzählen.
The German Church School is also practicing and showing inclusion, how all varieties of disabilities studying together with the non-disabled group. So many schools are also showing integration, and disabled children also nowadays start to integrate with a non-disabled group, with a mainstream school or church-based school or a private school as well.
An der German Church School in Addis Abeba, der Hauptstadt von Äthiopien, werden Kinder mit und ohne Behinderung gemeinsam unterrichtet. Vizeschuldirektor Tishoma Asefa erzählt, dass immer mehr Schulen in Äthiopien integrativen Unterricht anbieten. Das war nicht immer so. Sozialarbeiter mussten viel Aufklärungsarbeit leisten und Vorurteile gegenüber Menschen mit Behinderung abbauen.
Many families, they believe that is punishment from God, but nowadays NGOs and the government and individuals, everybody is involving about the awareness training, and nowadays family also start to send their children to school.
Die Zahl an Schülern mit Behinderung ist in Äthiopien zwar gestiegen, dennoch fehlt es weiterhin an Bewusstsein für integrativen Unterricht, Hilfsmitteln und an Lehrkräften. So kommen in Staaten wie Äthiopien, Burkina Faso oder Mali auf eine Lehrerin durchschnittlich 500 Kinder. Die vorhandenen Barrieren abzubauen ist schwierig, sagt Vizeschuldirektor Tishoma Asefa.
We have a lot of challenges there because this infrastructure is a big obstacle in the country, especially for the wheelchair users and for the blind people. Also, there is no enough access to such special materials. For example, for the visually impaired children, they need a proper cane, a white cane. So there is no any factory in Ethiopia, so this is a limitation, a challenge, and disabled people cannot be able to provide materials like a wheelchair or a cane, and for the blind people, writing and reading materials with a tactile mode, and the graphics. So many challenges are there, but nowadays we are trying to introduce at least what is inclusion and what is exclusion. So we are also trying to combine together.
Weltweit gibt es 61 Millionen Kinder im Volksschulalter, die nicht zur Schule gehen können. Davon hat ein Drittel eine Behinderung. Jedes Kind braucht einen Lehrer, ist das Motto der vergangenen globalen Bildungskampagne. Die Hilfsorganisation Licht für die Welt will für das Recht auf Bildung sensibilisieren. Denn dass es nichts Selbstverständliches, wie Bildungsreferentin Katrin Oberrauner den Schülern der Mittelschule Knöllgasse näher bringt.
Da gibt es aus der ganzen Welt Organisationen, Schulen, Jugendliche, Lehrer, die sich einsetzen dafür, dass
auch Menschen mit Behinderung in die Schule gehen dürfen.
Sehr gut. Nämlich, dass jedes Kind auf der ganzen Welt, egal ob mit oder ohne Behinderung, in die Schule gehen kann.
End of Exclusion, Living Together oder mit anderen Worten, Ja zur Inklusion. Dieses Motto vertritt auch Tishoma Asefa. Der engagierte Vizeschuldirektor reist in viele Dörfer Äthiopiens und klärt Menschen mit Behinderung über gemeindenahe Rehabilitation auf. Dabei handelt es sich um ein mentales und physisches Training für Kinder, das sie auf den integrativen Schulalltag vorbereitet. Neben physiotherapeutischen Übungen werden ihnen und den Familienmitgliedern auch Hilfsmittel nähergebracht.
They need a special toilet room and a special sitting chair because they couldn't sit like you. They need a special help. The teacher also showing the child how can he play with some games. Some activities can help for the disabled children improving their ability and how can they move their body start to function.
Von der Theateraufführung zu Weihnachten, gemeinsamen Festen bis zum Sportunterricht. In der German Church School in Addis Abeba wird der Schulleiter gemeinsam gestaltet. Kinder ohne Behinderungen helfen Rollstuhlfahrern über Rampen, spielen mit Kindern mit Lernbehinderungen oder Down-Syndrom und helfen blinden Klassenkameraden beim Sport. Wie Karateunterricht in der Schule von Tishoma Asefa aussieht, erfährt die Wiener Schulklasse in einem Videoausschnitt.
Are you okay?
Yes. Yes.
Are you fine?
Yes.
Look, this boy showing how can he use his leg and hand everything for the karate. We call it help each other.
Eines wird in dem Beispiel der deutschen christlichen Schule in Äthiopiens Hauptstadt deutlich. Integrativer Unterricht baut Barrieren in den Köpfen ab. Licht für die Welt, Bildungsreferentin Katrin Oberrauner, ermutigt die 12- bis 13-jährigen Schüler der Wiener Knöllgasse dazu, offen auf Menschen mit Behinderung zuzugehen und Interesse an ihrem Leben zu zeigen.
Wenn man Fragen hat und wissen möchte, wie ist es eigentlich so im Rollstuhl, dann kann man das auch durchaus tun. Denn oft ist es, wenn wir nicht wissen, dann führt das oft dazu, dass wir uns nicht fragen trauen, Berührungsängste haben. Und das führt dann auch oft dazu, dass wir Menschen ausschließen, ohne dass wir es wirklich wollen. Aber manchmal wissen wir halt nicht, wie wir fragen sollen, ja? Wenn ein Mensch sich anders verhält.
Das Gespräch mit den Schülern sucht auch die Menschenrechtsaktivistin Chitaya Astaves. Sie erklärt, dass die Unterschiede zwischen Menschen mit und ohne Behinderung nicht so groß sind. Dabei ist ihr besonders wichtig, den Jugendlichen ans Herz zu legen, dass alle Menschen gleich sind und auch so behandelt werden wollen.
I want you to understand the disability. It's of course about support also. That it's about love, okay, acceptance, help each other and living together. I want you not to forget that, okay? Don't ignore disabled kids. They are like you, okay? They like football, like you.
Im Alter von 12 Jahren erkrankte Chitaya an rheumatoider Arthritis, einer Gelenksentzündung. Seither benutzt die heute 43-Jährige einen Rollstuhl. Die Mutter zweier Söhne kann ein paar Schritte gehen und gestaltet ihren Alltag selbstbestimmt. Mit der Organisation Ethiopian Center for Disability and Development setzt sie sich dafür ein, dass Menschen mit Behinderung in Äthiopien Zugang zur Ausbildung bekommen. Chitaya erklärt den Schülern das Ziel ihrer Arbeit anhand ihrer eigenen Lebensgeschichte.
When I was at your age, I was like you. It came in between, okay? I went up to grade 4 like you. Then I fall ill and it happened to be this, like this. So the thing with me is I accept it. I accept the situation. I'm really, truly happy with it. Because I went to school. I managed to school with kids, with non-disabled kids. I like my friends. They like me. We play together. They helped me with the education. They helped me with wheelchair. They helped me to be really happy, to give value for my life. I helped them with some subjects. I was so good. So they came to be my friend.
Chitaya Astaves ist wichtig, den Schülern vor Augen zu führen, dass sie nicht nur auf Hilfe angewiesen ist, sondern anderen auch helfen kann. Sie möchte nicht auf ihre Behinderung reduziert werden. So hat sie immer schon versucht, ihr Wissen an andere weiterzugeben. Chitayas Traum war es, Fremdsprachen an der Universität von Addis Abeba zu studieren. Bis zu ihrem 12. Lebensjahr und dem Ausbruch ihrer Krankheit konnte sie die Grundschulausbildung abschließen. Die Highschool-Jahre gestalteten sich jedoch schwieriger. Zwar wurde sie weiterhin zusammen mit Kindern ohne Behinderung unterrichtet, doch der Schulweg war mühsam. Chitaya wollte daher ein Internat besuchen. Auch dies verlief nicht ohne Probleme.
For the last 2 years of my high school, I joined boarding school. When my parents, my family tried to put me in that boarding school, the school community says no. They said no. When my father asked why, they said she needs to make in the morning her bed. Because we have only children without disabilities. There are also some tasks to get the students prepared for life outside the school. They said no.
Die Vorteile eines Internats, wie etwa der wegfallende Schulweg, blieben ihr verwehrt. Chitaya war daher gezwungen, wieder eine Schule in der Stadt zu besuchen. In der 10. Schulstufe war sich die Vorzugsschülerin jedoch sicher. Sie wollte unbedingt in dieses Internat. Nachdem sie die Aufnahmeprüfung erfolgreich absolviert hatte und ihren Schulalltag beginnen konnte, erlebte sie viele positive Überraschungen.
You know what happened? In the morning, before making the bed, I will straight go every day to the washing room. When I turned back, I didn't know who did that. The bed is already. And you need to walk a little from the dorm to the classroom. So every girl in my dormitory took my bag so that I can work easily.
Nach dem Abschluss des Internats studierte Shitaya an der Universität von Addis Abeba Fremdsprachen und Gender Studies. Trotz aller Hindernisse in ihrer Ausbildung hat sie erreicht, einen Job zu finden, in dem sie sich verwirklichen kann. So berät die Menschenrechtsaktivistin Organisationen im Umgang mit Menschen mit Behinderung. Nach Ende ihrer Erzählung haben die Schüler noch die Möglichkeit, Shitaya Fragen zu stellen.
Do you like your job?
Yes, of course. I like it very much because, you know, I am on the disability and development work. So I am helping organizations by teaching like this to start considering children with disabilities and men and women with disabilities. And I advise them on some techniques and how to include them. Also, I am assisting and helping persons with disabilities to be positive, to be strong, and to come to the other people as well. Okay, so for this, I also take it as a support, as a contribution, as any citizen. So I love it, I like it.
Ein langer Schultag neigt sich dem Ende zu. Der Schüler Daniel lässt den Tag Revue passieren.
Wir haben über Äthiopien gelernt und dass behinderte Menschen also auch gleiche Rechte haben wie wir. Und dass die Menschen mit Behinderungen nicht anders sind als wir.
Die aufgeschlossene, neugierige und aufmerksame Schulklasse bleibt Shitaya positiv in Erinnerung.
They are good, they are friendly, they are open-minded. It's about only telling them, awaring them on the issue.
Die Menschenrechtsaktivistin Shitaya und der Vizeschuldirektor Tishome sind im Rahmen der globalen Bildungswoche 5 Tage zu Besuch in Wien gewesen. Dabei haben sie die Stadt erkundet und festgestellt, dass bereits viel barrierefrei zugänglich ist. Jedoch gibt es noch einiges an Verbesserungspotenzial, sagt Shitaya Astaves.
In Vienna I've learned it's not like people think, most of people think back home in Ethiopia. The European countries are heaven for persons with disabilities, no. I'm not finding that. There are still some barriers, some issues that we need to work. To get into the train, it's not like as such 100% accessible. Somebody needs to carry me on with a wheelchair. So there are still some things to work on to create the inclusive society so that to include persons with disabilities practically in our day-to-day life.
Für die 43-Jährige ist es wichtig weiterzugeben, dass die Situation für Menschen mit Behinderung in Äthiopien oft schwierig war. Jedoch habe es in den letzten Jahren einige Initiativen gegeben, um das zu verändern.
Now the government protects our right on to get employment. Our rights protected so that there is one proclamation that required for making all public buildings inclusive. So it's not, these things are not there when I was a child. There are now more public awareness programs, projects. And there are now more associations for persons with disabilities, like the National Association of Women with Disabilities. That's something important.
End of exclusion, living together. Diese Botschaft vermitteln Shitaya und Tishome einer Wiener Schulklasse. Bildung ist die Voraussetzung, um am Arbeitsmarkt einen Job zu finden. Die Beschäftigungsquote von Menschen mit Behinderung in Europa lag 2009 bei 46%. So ein Bericht des Academic Network of European Disability Experts. Nach Schätzung der International Labour Organization gehen durch die hohe Arbeitslosigkeit von Menschen mit Behinderung weltweit 3-7% des globalen Bruttoinlandsprodukts verloren. Im Rahmen der diesjährigen Zero Conference hat Sandra Knopp mit Barbara Murray, Senior Disability Specialist der ILO, gesprochen. In dem auf Englisch geführten Interview erklärt sie, welche Vorteile die Beschäftigung von Menschen mit Behinderung bietet, wie sich die Wirtschaftskrise auswirkt und wie sinnvoll Quoten sind.
Well, employers are often a bit apprehensive. If they don't know people with disabilities, they may think that disabled people have no contribution to make. And of course, that's a mistaken assumption, as we know from experience of many people with disabilities in the workplace. So it's very important to give employers the opportunity to see what disabled people can achieve. And sometimes this is done by employers talking with other employers who've had very successful experiences and know that there is a business case for employing people with disabilities. So that's a very important thing to just make sure that more employers open the door, either to jobs or, if they're more apprehensive, to give people the opportunity to demonstrate what they can do through internships. or work placements of a different kind, or to be trained on the job. This supported employment approach, where a job coach comes in with the disabled person and teaches them the job in the company, has proved to be very, very successful in many ways, getting the person the job and showing to the fellow workers and to the employer that people with disabilities are good for the business, you know, they make a contribution.
What do we miss when we don't hire them?
If employers don't hire people with disabilities, well, they lose out on the contribution that people can make, of course. They lose out on the morale-building effect that many employers say happens in the company, among the workforce in general, when people with disabilities are hired. Now, this is an interesting thing. Maybe it's because other workers think, well, if I became disabled, then my employer would keep me on. And it's also very good because many people, of course, have in their families or in their friendship network, they know people with disabilities, and it's really good for morale to show that the employer is actually a human being and not just a pure capitalist, I suppose you could say, using that terminology. But should I also say that, you know, many people acquire a disability while in employment, and it's very interesting to see what employers will do to make sure that those people in whom they've invested over years in terms of training and giving of experience, and who they know well, they know that they're valued employees. It's very interesting to see that employers often don't see those people as people with disabilities. They're just valued members of the workforce, and they make accommodations to ensure they can continue to do the job like in the past, even though they have acquired a disability.
And it means we should concentrate on what they can do and not on what they can't do, right?
Well, absolutely. But, I mean, it's really that employers need to be able to see this. And we find it's very interesting what employers in some countries have been doing. They realize that there is a business case for employing people with disabilities, but they need technical advice to enable them to actually take advantage of that. And here at this conference, this Zero Project conference, we've heard a lot of examples of what employers, organizations are actually doing, developing practical guides on different aspects of employment of persons with disabilities, which the employers can use to help them find the best way forward.
What does your organization exactly does to close the gap between those who have a disability and those who don't?
Well, you know, the ILO is a UN agency, a specialized agency of the UN system since 1919. It's tripartite, so it has trade unions and employers and the government on its work, on its governing body. And so what we do, well, we operate in several ways. We have binding international labor standards, and one of those deals with people with disabilities and their right to employment. And when countries ratify or sign up to those conventions, then the ILO provides technical support to enable them to implement the principles of the convention. So that's one thing we do. We provide training for workers, employers, and government people on equal opportunities for persons with disabilities, either nationally or in our international training centre in Turin. We do a lot of research on good practice and do publications and videos that people can review. And then we also have technical cooperation projects. So that complements the know-how, we call it show-how in country, to show them how to actually give effect to what they've signed up to internationally, namely equal opportunities for persons with disabilities, non-discrimination approach, and access to the mainstream of services.
Now we have a crisis, an economic crisis in Europe. So how does this influence on the situation of people with disability on the labour market?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. Also at this conference, we've heard about the findings of a study of how the austerity measures have impacted on services for persons with disabilities. And this is a political issue because, as you and everybody else knows, that the crisis has been in the financial circles. And the wealthiest people have made mistakes. And now it's the most marginal people are paying for this. Now, is this the way that societies want to be? So it's a political and philosophical issue, I think. And this message needs to be made very clearly by disability advocates and their allies. It's not fair that people who are already on the margins of society should be pushed further out as a result of what's happened in the financial circles.
In one of our next pieces, we are concentrating on young people with disabilities or young people in general who are searching for a job. How do you think is the situation for the young people in Europe now with a disability?
Well, I mean, the unemployment rate of youth in general is very high. And so people with disabilities, young people with disabilities are among those. So you'll see what has been done in many countries. There's very interesting active labour market policies and active labour market projects. And these are little projects which are trying to explore new ways of getting young people to get their foot in the door and get experience in the workplace. In Austria, you have an apprenticeship program which is specifically focusing on young people with disabilities, which I think is very useful because it's linked to the mainstream, but it's providing that affirmative action approach, the extra supports that people with disabilities need in order to demonstrate what they can do. It's very important for advocates to constantly remind people running these kind of programs that people with disabilities are there and they deserve the equal opportunities to demonstrate their capacity.
In Austria or in other countries, there are a lot of discussions about there should be quotas for women in higher positions. What do you think about the discussion about quotas or about some fixed numbers of people with disabilities in companies or in higher positions?
Well, look, I mean, I think we've got to do everything we can. And I mean, the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities lays out the vision very clearly. And the overall approach has to be one of equal opportunities and non-discrimination. So how do you actually implement laws that say that in practice? Well, you can have a variety of ways of approaching that. Affirmative action is very important. And quotas can be seen as a form of temporary affirmative action to try and open the doors and influence employers and demonstrate that people with disabilities of different kinds have a contribution to make. But the situation in Germany is that it's not for all people with disabilities, it's for people who have high level of disability, called severe disability in the laws there. And the same is true in France. So these quotas are not there for everyone because everybody does not need that kind of special support. What is really very important, I think, is reasonable accommodation, which is an individual measure. As long as a person has an impairment or have the right to have their interpreter or to have the right to have a personal assistant or, whatever. So that plus the quota plus awareness raising among employers plus many other things, you need a range of things. But to see quotas on their own, I think, is a big mistake. There's a lot of disagreement about quotas and the effectiveness of quotas, but, they are opening the doors for many people. Anti-discrimination laws need an extra tool because they, the Americans with Disabilities Act has not in fact led to a huge rise in the employment of persons with disabilities there, even though there was huge expectations. So I think we need to just tackle this issue mainly with awareness raising and an enabling legal environment which is based on equal opportunities and non-discrimination and mainstreaming where possible, opening the doors to the general services and the ordinary society for people who have been excluded. And you can have a whole lot of temporary measures along the way, which you will, of course, evaluate. You want to see what the impact is. But quotas could be part of those tools. Why not? In many developing countries where the ILO is working, it's the people with disabilities themselves who are saying, we need a quota. So there you go. So what can you do? If the people themselves say we need a quota, then you say, well, if you introduce a quota, make sure that it is set up in such a way that it will work well and make a difference to those who are seeking jobs.
But it's also, yesterday we learned that more women than men have a disability. So is this, what is that? That means they have a double as hard to find a job, or is it, I don't know.
Well, I think what you've got to do is say that people need to be equipped, men and women need to be equipped with the skills that are required in the local labour market. And sometimes they get those in training programmes, sometimes they learn them on the job. We've got to open the doors for everybody. And affirmative action measures can be taken for women with disabilities because quite often in many countries they have been overlooked. So, I think... you've just got to see what the situation is in the country and cut your cloth the measure needed. You know, I think you can't make a general statement that can apply all over the world. In some cases, you know, there's this problem, in other cases there's another problem. So you have to do a situation analysis as your starting point. You know, whether you're an advocate or whether you're a government agency or an NGO taking a lead role in trying to open the doors to the labour market for people, men and women with disabilities.
When we would meet in, I don't know, 2020, 2030, what would your wishes for this period? What should have changed?
More and more employers are actually taking initiatives on their own to support people with disabilities in developing the skills they need to make a contribution in those employers' companies. And employers should speak out a lot. Trade unions should also become more active. Now, this is not as easy as with the employers, because many employers are already realising the business case. But to get the trade unions involved and to get civil society more actively involved. Finally, I'd like to see very active understanding, campaigns which promote understanding of the abilities of persons with disabilities in general. I mean, this is one of the things the UN Convention asks governments to do. Immediately on ratification, they have to start tackling these stereotypes and negative images that are so widespread and constitute the invisible barriers, you know, that disabled people face in trying to take part in society in general. And so I'd like to see greater public awareness. However you measure that, I think at the end of the day you have to measure that in terms of seeing more and more people with disabilities participating and playing a very important role in different parts of society.
And the last question for the day. Here we went, many experts, you talked a lot. What did you learn from this conference so far?
Well, you know, I have been working in this field for quite some time, and in the past you would have a conference organized by governments or organized by UN agencies, and you wouldn't get this level of energy that you have here. We've experienced it yesterday and today. Huge amount of enthusiasm of the people who are here to talk about what they're doing and exchange ideas. And of course, this is a conference that's run by a foundation. And that, for me, that's a major change. It's a milestone in the development of things when civil society is actually saying, we've got to do something about this. So what have I learned? I've learned that, you know, we've come a long way, but we're going to go much further.
Sie hörten eine Freak-Magazinsendung von Anna Wiederenders und Sandra Knopp. Nächsten Dienstag hören Sie eine Sendung von Katharina Zabranski zum Thema Leben mit Lernschwierigkeiten. Der Beitrag beschäftigt sich damit, wie die gesellschaftliche Teilhabe von Menschen mit Lernschwierigkeiten nachhaltig verbessert werden kann. Das war Freak Radio für heute. Am Mikrofon verabschiedet sich Sandra Knopp.